Now we move to a primary day in North Carolina and Indiana. There are 187 delegates at stake in those two states, and 72 of them are in Indiana. Boy, it seems like Super Tuesday was a million years ago. States like Indiana are certainly grateful that they didn't move their primaries forward and receive some bonus delegates as a result. Mike Puente covers northwestern Indiana for Chicago Public Radio and joins us from Crown Point, Indiana, a city near the Illinois border. Mike, people of Indiana have, you know, by not moving their primary and by having a late primary, are suddenly in the middle of a contest that truly is meaningful in an election that has been unprecedented in every sort of level.
That's right. Actually, it was 40 years ago when the last time a presidential candidate even visited Northwest Indiana, or Indiana for that matter. And that was because 40 years ago, Indiana actually had their primary up much earlier in the calendar. They moved it back so there wouldn't be any conflicts with some of the state legislators with the election time. So they moved it to May, and, you know, all these many years, we haven't had much of an influence on primaries. And this year, it was terrible because we're right next to Illinois. There's Super Tuesday, and we're all sitting here kind of like, oh, God, we wish we could be part of it. But, yeah, I was kind of thankful that we didn't move it.
As recently as yesterday, a reporter down in Evansville was telling us that statewide, well over 100,000 additional new registered voters are at least potentially on their way to the polls today. Any evidence of that where you are?
Oh, yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of people signing up for the first time. And one of the issues that could affect first-time voters is this issue that you need a photo identification to vote in Indiana. And that's a law that was passed a few years ago, and it was just recently upheld by the United States Supreme Court just not even a month ago. Excuse me.
That's a really interesting point that you bring up, because we actually covered that story. And I guess the question would be, do people understand that? Was that information widely distributed so that everyone in Indiana knows if they're going to show up at the polls today, they must have a government-issued identification, not just any kind of identification, but a passport, a license, something of that nature?
Well, the Secretary of State of Indiana, Todd Rokita, he's been making the point that there's been a lot of educational materials out there. They've had media ads out there. So they're trying to get the point across that you do need this. He makes the point that there's already been seven elections that have passed since then, and with very few problems, if any problems, with this photo identification rule. And if somebody shows up at the polling site and does not have a photo ID, they can still cast what's called a provisional ballot, but they would have to return to a county office within the next, I believe, 10 days to make that vote count. Now, how many people would actually return, and that remains to be seen. There's some areas in Northwest Indiana, for example, the city of Gary, which is supposed to be a stronghold for Barack Obama, but they've had notorious of very low voter participation in recent primaries, recent elections. And this may be a little different, but you would think there may be some issues regarding first-time voters in this photo identification law.
And it does have to be a government-issued ID. That press pass that's hanging around your neck isn't going to be any help, right?
That's right. You need a driver's license or some kind of government-issued identification.
All right, quickly, will the polls close when tonight?
They close at 6 p.m.
All right, at 6 p.m. So 6 p.m. Central Time, so that's 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Mike Puente of Chicago Public Radio, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Primary day in North Carolina. We'll have a report later on in the hour from North Carolina, but we'd like to remind you that what we're asking for this hour is a story from you. The takeaway question today is, what has ever moved you to actually go from sitting on the fence, watching disaster unfold or a tragedy unfold in your midst, and had you actually give money?
We have one from Marsha, who opened her wallet to relive the pain of imagining what people are going through. What else made me open up my wallet? She says, fear of a Republican being elected in 2008. The first time I ever made a political donation, she says.
Here's another inspirational story here.
I just feel like sometimes the big things are too big, so I try to do what's in front of me. So somebody on the subway, somebody on the street, I need something.
It's inspirational when people overcome their sense of helplessness to actually reach out and give. 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's the question today.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.